everybody. I guess we'll get started. A warm welcome to everybody, and it's terrific to see such a good turnout for this. Welcome to Poetry Matters. Poetry Matters, as many of you know, is an initiative that's been unfurling for a few years now, creating spaces for conversation around poetry and sharing poetry. And we want to thank the poets who are here this evening, Christian and Rebecca and Mike, for sharing work this evening around issues of trauma, grief, healing, and gratitude. So this evening, I just want to speak to a couple of items. One is a bit of news that is circulating. My colleague Eli McLaren, also with Poetry Matters, wants to bring to people's attention that we've just had a launch, because one facet of what Poetry Matters does has to do with the Montreal International Poetry Prize, a project that we've been at work on, and the Department of English at McGill has just taken on oversight and management of the prize, and we just launched the competition cycle. So information about the prize is circulating, and please stay tuned. With that, I will turn things over to Lisa Banks, also with Poetry Matters, for further information.
Hi. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge that McGill University and, by extension, Montreal is located on land which has long served as a site of meeting and exchange amongst Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe nations. McGill, ancestrally based in Montreal, honors, recognizes, and respects these nations as the traditional stewards of the lands and waters on which we meet today. So, I feel I need to say that, you know, we are guests here and must act like it. So, I would also like to mention that we do have copies of the Scribner Creative Review available for sale for $10. We have the last two issues. I know most of the people on the editorial board. I know they put a lot of work into the journal. So, please do feel free to support them with your dollars, if you feel so inclined. I would also like to thank McGill's Office for Sexual Violence Response, Support, and Education for their presence here tonight. And subsequently also a special thanks to Rebecca and Hannah, who are volunteers with O's Verse, and they are here for the evening, and they are here to provide active listening. So if you feel that anything tonight requires, or sort of you feel the need to speak with someone and you would like to essentially avail yourselves of their listening, please do feel free to go talk to Rebecca or to Hannah, either at their table right here, which I would normally ask you to raise your hand, but I think we can all tell. Or if you would prefer privacy, we can also meet in the room just next door, if need be. So I believe that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And just so that everybody knows, please feel free to go upstairs for coffee and tea and snacks. That's something that's part of the event. So let's introduce our poets for the evening. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to the poets from here and away. Christian Favreau is a poet and activist living in Montreal. His work has appeared in the McGill Daily, Literary Supplement, and Valor, and his forthcoming book of poetry with Jack Pine Press will be available in late 2020.
Hi, thank you so much. So I started feeling ecological grief before the language was there for that sort of thing. And I think that's one of the great achievements of the climate movement in the last year, is that we're having these conversations more now. But a year and a half ago, nobody wanted to talk about that. And so that grief went deeper than just feeling despair for the land. It goes to the lack of alarm people are feeling day to day, that seems very dissonant with the science that we're being that we're reading and being told, and the adherence to an unsustainable system that is slowly killing the earth. I remember talking to my parents about that, and they validated my concerns, which was really nice, but then they shared what I'd said with some family friends, and these family friends completely dismissed these concerns and said, like, oh, well, our kids aren't concerned about the future. So I wrote this fragment of a larger whole. It's called Oh, the Heat. Clarity, far less careless, scare, blackened, close, and charred, singed, singing single voice against the cream yellow looming sky. The leaves fall so slowly, black boughs healed by spring, under, over, three chickadees charred, cut from black cloth. Can they fly after just 30 days? The forest calls assertively. Oh, the heat rises 2 degrees. Blackbird, lift your frequency, drown the sound of spade on rock. Le monde en jachère. Another man mistakes his observations for truth. Trees of style, de stil, flattened, then folded, every perspective used, traces of trees. Fingers at the ready, will of one stretched to national interest. Somebody let the yellow in, alive with fire, the foxgloves wail. Oh, the heat rises 2 degrees. Take me for a fool, break me with the artist's tool. When all your feathers, heartstrings plucked, blackbird, lift your frequency, drown the sound of spade on rock. Do you fear for the future? Tell me an earthquake shaking into submission. Blackbird, defensive response, the water rises. Do you allow this anxiety to take hold? I can't control much, but the new normal crystallizes as I take responsibility for my life, its closure, and no one else's. So, hypothetically, you would end humanity at the touch of a button? Break, break, yep. What about the lives of your loved ones lost? We forgot evolution as cooperation, not competition, far too long ago. So you resolve to be negative? I am embracing myself for a failure I did not start. Oh, the heat rises. I started attending ecological grief circles, which started cropping up in Montreal. It's a common aphorism that you can't really help others until you help yourself, but that was kind of transposed onto climate grief and this idea that you're part of the earth, so if you're not okay, the earth isn't okay, and you can't really do much to help. You have to find that balance. And so that was something that I found very helpful. And in those moments, I felt very drawn to the ocean. I visited my hometown in Vancouver and felt very drawn to the ocean there, thinking about the Great Barrier Reef, all the microplastics in the ocean, especially the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, which would just destroy the coastal areas of Vancouver and Burnaby if it goes through. And while sitting by the sea, I wrote this poem called Depression. I needed the sea. I needed the sea to tell me that it was okay to balance the ebb and flow, that ripples are beautiful reflections, cycles of lucidity, not far but moving, unfixed, conveying light, being cold, hitting against rock, the wisdom of the small. I needed to go to the sea. I needed to hear this and its thoughts, unheard over the waves, unheard over my own desire to hear it. My mouth became a circle. I sucked the cold air in and back out again in time with the breakwater. I spoke with it. I listened to be okay. So that community was quite nice, but it started to feel like it wasn't enough to sit and just contemplate these things. It felt like too much of a manifestation of privilege when we're all on this earth, but it's going to affect us differently in the global south, frontline indigenous communities, what we're seeing in Australia right now. And so it felt like a circular toxic space to just be ruminating on these things. And in terms of action, I started asking myself, why would I fight against the system that I live in? And I always saw myself as being a father. And that's hard to reconcile when feeling so uncertain about the future. So this poem is a self-call to action. It's called Conversation with a Daughter. La ville, mille fois s'éteint, mille fois décédée. While you sleep, watching over and after and all, I consuming compose a vision of myself in the grainy dark, one who promised to keep you safe. I take these moments one by one to mean something, to consolidate desires into granules of narcissism, to parse out, to sift through. Try again, hanging on the last note, a blue jay breaking and breaking as if landing on the pristine white cotton sheet. There is a brief moment, avant que ta naissance t'a donné soif, at first whisper, a paired interlude, of river songs and sunflower verses and wind hymns, acrylic layers carried off by time, my mother's fierceness, my father's poise, all within you, the one who would split me apart. To think that you hear me as a major ninth and not the dissonant, clustery chord that I am, that my arms could never make a soundproof shelter, nor should they, Blue Jay, mute that which surrounds me, you, your daughter, hers, and the three after that. I'm still here, irrelevant, irreverent, an echo at this point. If only I could explain the house that forms in your eyes by the intonation of your laugh, a house that weathers même les vents les plus foncés, calling out, a response, a song dissolved by the dawn, my sound, your sound, our sound, existing, mirai, internally infinite, externally finite, able to make impressions and feel them in turn. You ask again, what had you done before I arrived? You sleep, and between snores, white as crumbling chalk, I feel and decide something. But my lagging mind, comforted by the imprint of your breathing, stock still in thought of something, turning to dust. Again, what is there to say, you'll ask to the cardinal-strewn sky, after getting dressed while other cities burned, turning to me, were you trying? I am trying now. So afraid. No, Mirai, in this dream, fever dream, in the age of arson, répète le nom de ta soif. And again, I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter, brave, braver than mine, let go, blood let go, because it hurts to picture you not being able to breathe, much less take flight. La ville mille fois s'éteint, mille fois décédée. You, unnamed future, what if I were you and you I? What if my voice were your voice? What would you decide in the grainy dark? My favorite poet, Phyllis Webb, was a big advocate for non-linearity, which is very validating for people experiencing mental health problems, because progress isn't linear and emotions aren't linear. And I started to realize that neither was privilege. I guess we have this idea or this hope that once we understand the issues, we won't slide back. Like, if you understand racism, you won't slide back into racist behavior. But with privilege, it didn't seem that simple. I felt that sometimes it was too hard to really grasp the how big the problems were. And I think it's important to recognize that that feeling of wanting to be back in privilege, because it's not something that should be ignored. I think it should be, anyway, this poem is about that. it's called Folded Plane. Faintly they'll hear yoicks from my buried heart during such moments as these. One, Pépin. Like those before me, feigning mutuality, I whisper lies to the seedlings. Otherwise, their phloem would turn to vellum, sprouting horns and tufts of hair, and confuse the sun. Confident whispers, confident lies. Otherwise, they'll grow transparent flesh, folded panes of glass, a microscope. And then what? Where will they hide? Otherwise, I fold in on myself. Two, boom. A place, simple. No place is simple. No face, the depth of young wrinkles, old canyons, clustered folds, intersecting, arms across my shoulders, tense. I want to be simple, encountering not what I want to be, holding on to someone's hand, in a whir of wants, which ones are mine? When a universe doesn't fit within a glance, porous ellipses, shaking, fractious, fearful, I want to need your face, resting on a mandalaed pillow, enclosing nebulas, sweat and hair, a leap, a vault, flash floods and little deaths, simply scared, simple is gone, only to be looked upon with tired faces and longing eyes, ephemeral tableaus entitled simple. Their stars have supernovaed into viridian. Did I really know then that no place is simple? No? 3. Pommier. I am tired of my roots locking into the ground, exhausted and weak, from flora to folio to footnote. Those who must speak are choked by weeds, fruit darkened by smoke, heirloom of power of pyrolosis, gas and light to the eyes, throats are screamed into. As if imploded, the voices recede. I am not too tired, the only one to emerge and walk into the sea, rising, present, continuous, washing the fire, the bark, pained. The folded pages, panes of many seeds, many apples, many trees, many folds. I'm going to go straight into the next one because it's about similar feelings of deep uncertainty. It's called Following. 1. It begins with birds. Always birds, many birds, just enough. Wings outstretched over poplars. The interlocking feather, 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 just enough above the beak, between the eyes. An answer in the form of a fragment, and a fragment in the form of grief and silence. For it hurts to wonder if, given the space to forget, we learn anything. Another rhyming stanza, all hurt and gain and again. No more am I the one who wrote your poems. For the birds have come and gone, as if an endless winter, as if a south were someplace beyond smoke. For the birds I was arrested, wishing instead it were a moment, here in autumn, along the path, arrested, thinking of a future beyond the moment. Too quick to feel safe, too quick to feel, too tired to be quick enough to feel safe, locked in joint moments, singing for safety. For the birds didn't disappear just when I noticed. A tree was felled, and the nest held aloft, succumbed to and fro in existence. 2. A girdling of trees, shafting of light, atmospheric. Breathing, biting air, water, vapor. Alone is a state best served at the hand of others, translated in music, brushstrokes. I always look to you. You changes, but I always look, stare into you's eyes. I don't trust myself to know, to author, to judge. That grave mistake, the girdling of trees, surmising, solmizing, etched across my palms, fee, Phyllis, I tried, a note on each finger to knock authority off the pedestal, but I fell and put you there instead, a height no one should reach, a height everyone should reach. I am because you left, I am because you, I am left staring up at conifers, crystal beads, leaking clouds after each intake, awake at last. Uncertainty, take me into the forest. Following fee, less uncertain, action, action. A thing becomes everything. Always in a situation, give it meaning, so that living is art. Where? Following let, blood, through the sky-tethered citadel, running on the moss-covered crenels, each trace burning. Let them stay opulent. Bloodletting brilliance, lambent footprints on the cut grass. Are you, following din, tense and confused, flames and voices flickering at the mouth of the cave. Sweat flows from head to toe, footsteps quicken. Leading, following Dra, gone, flies, goodbyes, and goodnight. We're all in this together, even when alone on the cliffside, back turned to the cave and its drawings. Me? Who are you? Libellule, a blemish qui blémit sur la lune, outside sitting with a knife to carve the tools. I need no blueprint, and for what purpose? The tools were all carved for me, and they split in twos and threes, not quite useless, not quite whole enough to model, not quite anything. I have one more poem. I'm actually going to end on a happy note. Sustainable happiness is something I've really wanted to feel for a long time, but you don't really control that. So I've been focusing for the last little while on the things I can control. And as Professor Hickman mentioned, gratitude is something that you are able to control. Like gratitude for the wind on your face, gratitude for hearing birds singing, trees, friends, the other activists I organize with. So this poem is about that, and it's called The Chickadee. Answering with a name propelled by the wind, as if to say, hear me or not, respect me or not, love me or not, I am here, and you may know me if you change your mind. A twittering trill concentrated into five syllables of anapestic inflection, and behind a tiny set of vocal cords sits a swelling heart, a crying heart that proclaims itself as living. And deep within the woven branches, the soft, grateful cry, accompanied by the tilt of a furry black head, this answer is a question, always. Are you living too, here? Thank you.